very sincere thank you to all of the handbell players, the director, Sam. A lot of hard work. I'm here when they practice. That doesn't just happen overnight. There's a lot of hard work and dedication to that. What you just heard, those couple minutes of music took hours and hours. And so thank you, all of you players. That was a wonderful addition to our service. And now we're going we're going to calm down, we're going to slow down here. I would be upset if I ever came to a church and I felt we were rushed. And I know that's not what we were doing earlier, but now we're going to slow down here. We're going to think deeply about the Lord's Supper this morning. And we're going to meditate on the meaning of Christian communion just briefly this morning. I was thinking about a number of things during the week. People want to spend so much time on what's wrong in the culture and with the government and with this new Supreme Court verdict and decision. And I was thinking, rather than concentrate and talk about what's wrong with everything on my final week in this pulpit before I leave for a number of weeks, and if you're interested, I'll be back August 16th preaching. But I was thinking about my last message, what to think about, what to do, and just as an interesting footnote, for the next 5 Sundays, try to come and support the church leaders that God has given us here. Sam and Chris and Butch will be in the pulpit. And you won't find better teaching for the size of the group. Obviously, in large churches, they have professional seminary-trained elders. But for lay elders, you're going to hear great teaching. You're going to hear godly Bible teaching. And I'm thankful for that. Come and support them in the next number of weeks. You will be blessed. But I was thinking about, for my last message, let's think about the Lord's Supper this morning. And one more footnote, if you're visiting, I know there are a number of visitors here this morning. You're welcome to partake of the Lord's Supper with us if you profess Jesus as Lord and Savior. Let's just talk just really briefly about this great subject. And I was thinking about 2 things related to Christian communion. Number one, we must remember Christ, we must remember what Jesus did for us. Number 2, we must remember what we did to put Christ on the cross. That's a nice little 2-point outline. Don't miss that. Today we're going to try to remember and think about theologically and biblically what Jesus did for us on the cross. And then we're going to think about who we are and how we are the ones literally who put him there. Tremendous, tremendous little 2-point outline. Turn in your Bible with me to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And let's just begin this morning by thinking about who Christ is. Let's remember what he did for us. And let's think about this from God's perspective. It doesn't get any better. It doesn't get any deeper. If this would be my last message on earth, I would feel great preaching this message, because this truly is the most important thing the church can talk about. Not these other issues. The world is literally going to hell. The world is going down. The world is continuing to grow more sinful, and governments and courts and people and parties are just proving the Bible to be true. Better as a church to talk about, to think about, to meditate on truth. I'm so thankful for my seminary professors. They always emphasize to us in the ministry as senior pastors, they would say, men, spend more time talking about the truth than talking about error. For talking about the truth, teaching the truth, meditating on the truth, learning truth with your people, growing in the unity of the faith related to truth will help your people much more than talking about how wrong everything is around us. Let's look at Romans 3. 24. What are we remembering today in the Lord's Supper? Verse 24, let's begin. Being justified as a gift by His grace. Stop right there. Christian, this morning you have been declared righteous. You have been declared not guilty. You have been declared innocent, perfect, holy, justified as a gift. As a gift. We're going home here this afternoon, and just kind of as an interesting footnote, this is important for me. Some of you may not understand this. And as a new believer, I would have been very mad if I would have come to a church and the pastor had to leave right after the service. But try, and it's important for me to communicate why I had to do this, why we had to do this. We're trying to get that early flight, that 1:30 flight, and the only way we can make a connection to get back to the Midwest is to take that night flight. And so the only way we can do that is to leave and get on that 12:15 ferry. That's why we have to be in a little bit of a hurry this morning. With all my heart, if there was any other way to do that and get home, I would do that. But if you don't do that, you spend all of that money and all of that time in Seattle. If you knew how cheap I was, that's like sticking a knife in me to spend all that time and that energy. And then you have to go through the airport security, take your shoes off, and do that whole thing again. Nobody wants to do that. I don't want to do that. And so that's why we're doing it the way we're doing it here this morning. So I appreciate your grace. Right after we partake together, I'm going to head out that side door, and I literally have to be on that 12:15 ferry. And so I'll say my goodbyes now. But look at this with me. Being justified as a gift by His grace. Think about the nature of the gift that you have been given, declared righteous, declared innocent, declared holy by God. Remember that this morning. By grace, verse 24. Unmerited favor, God giving you what you do not deserve through the redemption. But there was great cost. The redemption, the literal price of blood that Jesus paid, was necessary for the gift, for the grace to be imparted to us, imputed to us. Tremendous cost, the price of redemption, the price of blood. Verse 25, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood. Jesus literally took the holy wrath for the sins you commit upon Himself. And it was displayed publicly on the cross for all to see. It's appropriated by faith, through faith, and only through faith. Verse 25, this was to demonstrate His righteousness. This was to demonstrate God's righteousness. It's the theme of the book of Romans, the righteousness of God. Because in the forbearance of God, He passed over the sins previously committed. God demonstrated righteousness when Christ went to the cross. God demonstrated forbearance, passing over your sins. Verse 25, for the demonstration, I say, of His righteousness at the present time, so that God would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. What does that mean? The righteous, perfect, holy, pure standard was not compromised when God forgave you and forgave me. Holiness was fulfilled in Christ, the holiness you could not fulfill. God did not have to change His holy standard of perfection. That standard was met in the righteousness of Jesus. Therefore, God is just. He is holy. Even though you have sinned, He can allow you to be righteous. He can impute righteousness to you because of Christ. For the demonstration, verse 26, I say of His righteousness at the present time, so that He would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where then, verse 27, is boasting? I love this. This is the Apostle Paul at his best. Moving from the heaviest theology ever penned to practical words to real people. Where then is the boasting? it is excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No. But by a law of faith. We must be thinking deeply this morning, reflecting deeply this morning before we partake of the Lord's Supper, simply, solely, and only on the righteousness of Christ, His gift by grace, His redemption, His price. For we have done nothing to earn this. Where then is the boasting? I love it. Where then is the boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No. But by a law of faith. Verse 28, we maintain a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Praise God. For I could never be justified any other way. Amen. You could never be justified any other way except by faith, apart from any type of works, ceremonies, sacraments. It's all by faith in Christ, what He has done. In addition to thinking about who Christ is and what He has done biblically and theologically, we must think about who we are. Look at 1 Corinthians with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 27. Look at it with me in your Bible. Our second main point this morning. We must begin thinking about, before we partake of the Lord's Supper, who we are. How do we do that? Look at verse 27. Therefore, I'm in 1 Corinthians 11, 27. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep, but if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. How do we begin to judge ourselves rightly? How do we begin to think about ourselves in a way that is pleasing to God? Go back with me to the book of Romans, please, chapter 3 again. How do we begin to partake of the Lord's Supper in a way that is pleasing to God? How do we judge ourselves rightly so that we would not be judged? Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 9. What then, are we better than they? Not at all, for we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. So one of the great problems we have with this decision, the Supreme Court decision that just came down, and I mentioned this to a number of people this week. For many of us this morning, I'm just going to talk like an adult here, and if this is going to offend any of the children, you parents, be gracious to me and understand there's a context here, and this is a tremendous point that needs to be made. They're not listening anyway, so it doesn't matter. Now they're going to listen because I told them they weren't listening. In Christian circles and Christian churches just like this one, I don't know about anyone else, but I have never struggled one time with a homosexual thought, a desire, a fantasy, an act, an action. Never, not one time in my life before God and before man. That is true, not one time. Now, many of you are the exact same way. Many, not all, I realize that. But many of you are just like me, and you do not struggle with homosexual thoughts, lesbian thoughts, activities, actions, fantasies, actions. You've never been involved in that in thought, word, or deed. Many of you are just like me. And so it would be easy for me today to stand up and give a thundering denouncement on the sin of homosexuality. I could do that, and I could, you know, the veins of my neck could be popping out because that might be the one thing in the whole Bible that I'm not guilty of. I'm guilty of everything else. But I'm not guilty of that. Amen? Many of you are like that. Look in your Bible at Romans chapter 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? You're not better than a homosexual. You're not better than a lesbian. You're not better But for the grace of God goeth I. And apart from grace, apart from God's effectual call, you would be in that same position. And this is how you must think about yourself this morning. You must think about yourself, as Paul said, this is difficult, this is hard, this is sobering. Think about yourself when you take the bread and the cup this morning as the chief of sinners, the worst sinner the world has ever known. If you do that, you'll be in a good place this morning. Look in your Bible with me. Let's read this together. Romans chapter 3, verse 9. How would you describe your pastor this morning? How would you describe the pastor's congregation here at Calvary Bible Church? Let me describe myself. Let me describe you this morning. Are we better than they? No. We all have charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. Verse 10. There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep on deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths. The path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That describes me. That describes you. That described me before Christ, and in days where you don't see, in moments you don't see, that describes me after Christ. It's true of me. It's true of you. Verse 24, being justified as a gift by His grace. Praise God. By His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Go back in your Bible to 1 Corinthians. Please. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Before we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, I want us to think about who we are in relation to who God is. And we fall so far short of His standard, it should make you tremble. It should, if the Holy Spirit is not quenched in your life right now, the Holy Spirit should be bringing into your mind all the thoughts, all the actions, all the activities, all the hypocrisy, all the things that nobody sees, all the things that are apart from righteousness in your life, and you should be able to see those things in blazing light in the presence of God's holiness. If we do that together, we're partaking in a worthy manner. Amen? We are partaking in a worthy manner. And then the gift by grace through redemption is appropriated. And we do have communion with God. We have fellowship with God. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and said, this is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. Man, would you please come and pass the bread this morning? Pray with me. Dear God, we thank You for this ordinance of the Lord's Supper. We thank You that we can be devoted to communion as a church. And we thank You, Lord Jesus, for being righteous for us on our behalf. We thank You for Your perfect life, Your willingness to take our place. And we remember that now. We remember Your literal life, Your perfection, Your holiness. We remember Your body that was given for us. And I pray that we would be partaking in a worthy manner. Let's eat, please, together. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Men, please pass the cup. Back in 2010, some of you remember when Josh Murdoch died in the plane crash. He was one of our elders, if you're not familiar with the story. Before I left that summer, I really felt like I wanted to talk to him and mention some things to him, how thankful I was for his life and his service and just being a friend of mine and a supporter. And the last day before I left on the trip, it was such that I did not get a chance to talk to him that day. And then I heard the news while we were on the trip that he died in his Beaver. And just before we closed the communion service, if this would be my last message as a pastor, most of you here this morning have been the faithful flock of Calvary Bible Church. Through the years, many of you here this morning have been here as long as I've been here. Man, words cannot describe how thankful I am for you, the flock. Your support, your grace, just allowing me to teach the Word of God and the reception of the Word of God. You all hearing the Word of God, not as the Word of man, but as the Word of God. And just genuine love and grace and forgiveness extended toward your pastor. If this would be my last message on earth, I just want the flock, leaders and people alike to know nobody in the ministry deserves a situation like I've had. And I want to say that, and I want you to know that as a fact. I'm thankful. So thankful for you, the flock, and for the church. For Christ's church, for Christ as the head of the church. And then just to take that exponentially to another level, would you be thankful with me this morning about the reality that we are secure in Christ through His blood? Praise God. Our sins are forgiven through His blood. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. Your sins have been paid for, and you need not fear judgment. I don't know if you think about that, but I do. And I'm thankful, and I want you to be thankful for that. Let's drink together. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Let me close this with prayer. Let's stand together. Dear God, hear our cry. We desire to have communion with You this morning through confession of sin, through remembering the reality of Christ, His atonement, His life, His death, His shed blood, His resurrection. And dear God, we desire to have communion with each other on a horizontal level as well. As believers, we desire to have communion fellowship with each other, even as a foretaste of heaven. We look forward, Lord Jesus, to that day when we will be with You at the marriage supper of the Lamb, free from sin, free from mortality, free from pain, crying, tears, death. We'll have all eternity to have perfect communion with You and with each other. I pray for Your precious ones as they leave the church today that they would have had a foretaste of that. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.